CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John McDermott. John is the economist correspondent for Africa. We're focusing on the turmoil in South Africa these last days. We recover our conversation a week past when I was interested to understand and learn the remarks by members of the Zuma support team in between the order to for Jacob Zuma, the former president and very famous man of South Africa, to report to jail and his reporting moment. The question was, would Zuma be jailed? You recall he spent a great deal of time in jail under the apartheid regime. He's a very senior citizen, quite dignified, and has a great deal of support in South Africa. So would he go to jail? Here we are a week later, John, and the answer to the question was he would go to jail, but I'm reminded of that remark by one of his supporters, Anonymous, at his retreat, I believe, in KwaZulu-Land, where the word war was used. At the time, I thought it was an exaggerated rhetoric about a political contest. But what happened in Durban and Johannesburg was a war. So was this expected? Was that war remark taken more seriously in Johannesburg or Durban than I was able to understand it? Good day to you, John.
Hi, John. I hope you're doing well. Was it expected? I don't know. I mean, South Africa is something of a tinderbox at the best of times. It has about the highest unemployment and inequality rates in the world. Crime is very high, and a lot of tensions which date back to the apartheid era have not been resolved. However, just because something could happen doesn't mean it will happen. And the spark to light the tinderbox was provided when former President Jacob Zuma was jailed for contempt of court on the 7th of July. And then very quickly after that, you started seeing incitement by people close to the former president, including by one of his daughters. And it is alleged by the government, you saw people close to the former president orchestrate a series of attacks on shopping malls and economic infrastructure, which soon spiraled into widespread rioting, looting, and arson the weekend before last and carried on through last week. And it has rocked the country. It is certainly the biggest period of unrest since the end of apartheid in 1994.
The unrest stems from this question of legal authority to jail Jacob Zuma. As I understand it, there are a series of charges leveled against the former president. He, of course, led the ANC, which is all-powerful, and the present leader of South Africa, Mr. Ramaphosa, is a member of the ANC. So do we look upon this as an internal struggle for authority in the ANC? Do we look upon this as a criminal court that is outside of the ANC? I'm trying to understand where the authority lines are. You asked that trenchant question in The Economist, too. Who's in charge of law in South Africa right now?
The ruling African National Congress is riven by factional battles, and the most important is between the so-called Ramaphosa faction, i.e. those close to the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, and the so-called Zuma faction, those close to the former president. That massively simplifies what's actually quite a fragmented picture, but let's just run with it. And what you saw over the past couple of weeks was not an attempted coup. It's easy to overestimate the popularity of the former president, but it was certainly an attempt to render the country ungovernable and the current president unpopular in order to try to get Mr. Zuma released from prison and to reduce the popularity of Mr. Ramaphosa. In a televised address, the third he'd made within the space of a week, on July 16th, Mr. Ramaphosa said that the events were an attack on our democracy, and he called them an insurrection.
Yes, I saw some of that speech and highlights of it, and he talked about they. They planned this. They planned to undermine the, and we can presume that they are the Zuma reporters. Does it go farther than that? Is there a larger group that could benefit from this disorder?
I think it's important to put this in perspective. South Africa has 9 provinces, the equivalent of American states, and there was no violence in 7 of the 9. Mr. Zuma is popular amongst a core of Zulu-speaking ANC members and kind of other people within the province of KwaZulu-Natal. But like I say, this was not a coup. And you also have to understand that to foment such violence requires existing discontent. And that's when you have to understand the socioeconomic conditions in South Africa, where there is widespread poverty and hunger and joblessness, all of which have been made worse by the pandemic and the lockdowns that the government has introduced. So, yes, this was a, in the words of a president, an insurrection, or at least a politically motivated series of crimes. That's what all the circumstantial evidence, at least, is telling us. But it couldn't have taken place in a, without a country that was economically broken.
What is to be done? Right now, there is no reporting of violence or looting. There is reporting of cleanup and repair. Does that suggest that this is a quiet period, like the eye of a hurricane? Other metaphors would apply as well, that there's more to come of this? What's the expectation in Johannesburg?
A hurricane's not a bad metaphor, actually. As I've been doing my reporting in Johannesburg and Durban, I've been thinking back to Hurricane Katrina, which, as well as being a huge disaster, was also revealing of the faults in American society, or the fault lines. And this disaster, while entirely man-made, has been similarly revealing of all the fault lines in South Africa. What's happening now? Well, it's peaceful. Order has been restored. I have visited many of the 200 or so shopping malls that have been destroyed or burnt. When I was in Durban, I went to see some of the warehouses that had been set on fire. You could smell the plastic still burning in the air. And I spoke to lots of people who were devastated, often people from the communities affected. They couldn't believe that people within their midst had looted and ransacked their very amenities that they had fought so hard to provide. What happens next? We will see. There are rumors of further attacks, but we just don't know. I think it is unlikely we will see something similar in the near term. The question now is what Mr. Ramaphosa does, because he has long come under pressure to get rid of the so-called Zuma faction from his party. And if he doesn't do it now, then when will he do it?
Mr. Zuma remains detained. The internet is rife with provocative remarks. I can presume that they've just been accelerated. The army is still deployed. Is that correct? Just in those two states, John, or throughout the whole country?
Yeah, the army has authorization to deploy up to 25,000 troops, which again represents the largest deployment since the end of apartheid.
And that deployment, is that unusual for South Africa? Is this a moment where people have to say, what kind of country do we want? Or is it typical that the army deploys in disasters in South Africa? I just don't know the traditions.
Certainly a deployment on this scale is not typical. You have to remember that things like mass army deployment and a state of emergency, which was not introduced but some people called for, hark back to the bad old days of apartheid, when the ruling National Party, the White Supremacist Party, used that in order to kind of quell the anti-apartheid opposition. So there is obviously kind of reluctance or wariness about seeing so many troops back on the street. But it's not just troops that have been trying to ensure security. I think this is maybe quite interesting for your listeners. When I was in Durban, for example, every single suburban area had these ad hoc community groups providing security. So they would take crates and trees and barbed wire and put it at the end of their quite nice street. And men would gather maybe about a dozen or so, light a fire, maybe take some guns, some golf clubs, some cricket bats, and just sit watch. And while that has actually given people a sense of security in the short term, it also speaks to people's worries, because if the state can't keep them safe, then how long can they rely on themselves to do so? And I think while peace and order have been restored in South Africa, a lot of individual South Africans are thinking about and reflecting on the future of their country.
John McDermott, South Africa. He is Economist African Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.